All right, Dennis Snelling joined us. Dennis, it's nice to have you here. You've been with us before.
Hey.
And the first book you wrote for us and that we had you on was about the Pacific Coast League. The Greatest Minor League, A History of the Pacific Coast League, 1903 to 1957, which is sort of the Bible now of looking up stuff about the Pacific Coast League.
Well, thank you for that. It was a lot of work. I really enjoyed it. The Pacific Coast League was a very unique league, very independent, and people often don't realize that players like Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams and Harry Heilman and some of these Hall of Famers were actually signed by the Pacific Coast League, not the major leagues.
Well, I think it's terrific, and I use it all the time. So, but your new book is one that surpasses that. I didn't think it would be possible, but it certainly has. And it's Lefty O'Doul, Baseball's Forgotten Ambassador. So, of course, we have the Lefty O'Doul Foundation for Kids here in San Francisco. We had the Lefty O'Doul Restaurant on Geary Street. The name Lefty O'Doul is synonymous with San Francisco baseball. And this book really takes you from beginning to end of Lefty O'Doul. So tell us why you chose him and some of the interesting parts of what we have in the book here.
Well, some of it came out of my work in the Pacific Coast League, so I kind of knew the outline of Lefty's story and the impact he had both on the Pacific Coast League and San Francisco baseball, as well as of course, Japan. And it was interesting talking to ex-ball players who had played for him. He was one of the few that both pitchers and hitters both liked. And he was actually not only a great hitting instructor, he was a great pitching instructor
as well. He started out as a pitcher, and he got his lunch.
Exactly. He hurt his arm early on, and Bob Stevens had the famous quote that Lefty could run like a deer. Unfortunately, he also threw like one. And you know, he was kind of stubborn, wanting to stay pitching, but finally realized that his way back to the majors was through hitting, and took off almost immediately. He was almost an immediate success. But there was a lot of battle, even early in his career, over whether he should be an outfielder or a pitcher.
So a great hitter, played in the 20s and 30s when the ball was a little bit juiced up, let's say, 256 hits for him. 349, if I'm not mistaken, lifetime batting
Correct.
Average, 349, one of the top of the history of baseball. Not in the Hall of Fame because he didn't have enough seasons. That's sort of the argument against him. But we're going to get to his influence in San Francisco and the world. But his baseball career, he was a tremendous hitter, but never quite got the due because of jumping from team to team, being traded, Phillies, the Dodgers, so on and so forth. And he didn't have enough seasons in, and I guess they held that against him.
Well, yeah, I think there, you know, some of his, some folks used Dizzy Dean as a corollary, someone who also had several great seasons, but not a real long career. But Lefty didn't get back to the majors until he was age 31. He had a very unique career. Not very many people start out as a pitcher and not only start out, but don't really play. He only appeared in 40 games in his first 3 years, even though he was with the Yankees every day of the season. And so by the time he got back to the majors, he was 31 years old. He had his breakout season at age 32.
Okay.
But was still a tremendous athlete. When he was 34, he broke Jim Thorpe's record for going from home plate to first base. Just a tremendous athlete. But the Phillies, they weren't very good, so they traded him to Brooklyn. Brooklyn was having financial problems, sent him off in a salary dump to the Giants, where he helped them win the 1933 World Series. Had the key hit there.
Boy, amazing. All right, Lefty O'Doul, the book, Dennis Snelling, S-N-E-L-L-I-N-G. You can get it at all the local spots. Of course, the Book Tree in Montclair, my favorite place. I support local bookstores, so David up there has got the book, The Book Tree in Montclair. All right, tell us, Dennis, a little bit, because what really becomes interesting about Lefty O'Doul, his influence in San Francisco as a manager of the Seals, and just sort of being Mr. Baseball of San Francisco for so many years.
He really was. He, of course, played for the Seals several times before retiring from the major leagues and coming back and managing the team in San Francisco. But his impact really goes back almost to the beginning. He would always go back to Bayview Hunters Point, Bayview Elementary School, where he grew up, and would always go back and talk to the kids. And then he had his famous kids' days, where he would basically sell out the stadium, giving things away to kids and basically putting on a whole show.
Yeah.
And he was always carrying baseball equipment in his car. If he saw kids along the street playing ball, and it was always new stuff.
I remember in the green suit, right?
The man in the green suit, and he had a green Cadillac that he drove around in.
Hey, John Madden told me that Lefty gave him a ride home to Daly City after a game.
Yes.
John Robinson and John Madden.
I think John did some caddying for him, too, on the golf course, and there's actually a story in the book where John was one of those young kids on the street playing ball, and Lefty stopped and gave him some baseball equipment.
Yeah, boy, it's enjoyable. You just say the name Lefty Odule, you think of baseball, you think of San Francisco, and the impact he had just for the Seals and being the manager and a hitting coach and his methods with Ferris Fain and some of the great hitters of the Pacific Coast League with the rope and to get him to stop overstriding and all that stuff. And but then his impact in the world, I think, is what separates Lefty Odule from everybody else and makes him a very special person in baseball history. And then you get into why is he not recognized more by the Hall of Fame. But tell us about his influence in Japan and how that impacted baseball there.
Well, it really started when he went over with an all-star team in 1931, and it was the best team that had ever gone to Japan. Lou Gehrig and Charlie Gehringer and Lefty Gomez and Lefty Grove were on that team. And he ended up really falling in love with the country. He went back several times, got Babe Ruth to come over and play in 1934 in a famous tour. Continued on through the 30s until, of course, the war interrupted. And Douglas MacArthur was, in essence, running Japan at the time and was very concerned about the morale of the Japanese people at that time. And sports was thought maybe that could be a way of reigniting the morale of the Japanese. So someone, Cappy Harada, who was aide-de-camp to a general under MacArthur, suggested bringing Odule over. He was the most popular living baseball figure among the Japanese because of his work there in the 30s. And Lefty came over, and it was more than just a goodwill baseball tour. I mean, there's talk there about how he treated orphans and how that impacted the Japanese. And he had a kid's day there that was tremendously successful.
Yeah.
And there were people that wrote him afterwards. I think the head of the Board of Education of the Tokyo school system wrote him a letter talking about how much it meant to the young people of Japan that he'd come. And Douglas MacArthur, of course, called it one of the greatest strokes of diplomacy in the history of the country.
Yeah, and you know, Pat and Dennis Snelling with us talking about his new book, Lefty Odule. It's very good. It's a great story, especially for folks out here. But, you know, I've always said you can look at the history of America through the eyes of baseball. And, boy, Lefty Odule certainly gives you the ability to do that prior to the war in the 30s, what he did for baseball in Japan and bring the game there, and then what he did afterwards for helping to rehabilitate the country and the morale. And you look at U.S. history, and you see it through the baseball field. You don't talk about other things that happened in Japan after the war. You talk about this. This is the rehabilitation. So I think it's an amazing connection. I do. That's my speech for today.
Well said, Marty.
I think no, really, it is. So I like it. What did you learn? Maybe something that you didn't know that you did the book and you learned something.
I think just realizing the true impact he had on everybody, and how popular he was everywhere he went. He was one of those kind of people that dealing with people energized him. He was a very self-educated person. He wasn't educated strongly in a formal sense, but he just loved people and had a great influence on them, a very positive influence. And a guy who could rise to the occasion. I mean, it seems like he was everywhere at every big moment, whether, you know, Japan at a historical time, on the ball field. He's just a really fascinating. I think I said there's very few people as fascinating as Lefty Odule.
Yeah, no, I agree. Very, very, especially for the Bay Area.
Maybe his nephew, Tom Odule.
He's fascinating. That's one way to describe Tom
Odule. Three cheers.
That's one way to describe him. He is fascinating. No, we tease him. But no, I'm really glad that you could be here and share it with the fans. I have a copy of it here, so if anyone wants to come up and take a look at it, I've got it. You can get it through Nebraska Press as well. Dennis Snelling, another good job. Or good job on this book.
Oh, thank you.
Very good.
Way to go, Dennis. And you have a nice way of speaking, so I think a speaking tour is up next. Above and Beyond Weekends in the Park.
I do have a few engagements coming up.
Oh, so do you? Do you have stuff coming up?
Yeah, I'll be at Stuckey's Club Modern next Sunday.
Okay.
And we'll be at San Francisco Library on the 13th of June and at the Commonwealth Club on July 10th.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, they need to make a movie about this guy. Did he have enough controversy to sell a film kind of arc?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think it's a great story.
Then why not make a movie about it? Sports movies are the best.
Sure.
So.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
And plus, you have a range from like 1920 to, you know, to the 70s.
Right.
Well, when did he pass away? In the 60s, right?
He died in 1969, ironically, on Pearl Harbor Day.
Huh.
Wow. Boy, another connection.
Wow.
Amazing. Hey, Dennis, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
All right, more coming up.